Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're having a great weekend. Mother Nature is starting to loosen her grip a little bit on this winter, and we're going to get a little spring fever here. Approaching the 1st of March, and you know what? I kind of got an itch. And one of the things that I try to do every spring is kind of clear out the freezer this time of year.
Good time to do it.
So that, because we get a lot of meat throughout the spring and summer and fall, and we use most of it, but some of it gets put in there. Somebody brings us a bunch of birds or whatever from a trip or my fall hunting trips. I got game left over, and now's the time to kind of clear that out. So we're going to dive into that a little bit in this segment and talk about maybe some recipes that, for the little surprise you find in the bottom of the freezer. And the first one, I'll take it, Bob, and that's my bacon-wrapped pheasant. You know what? Pheasant is a very lean meat. Generally, you can keep them whole, but you end up eating pretty much just the breast. Even the thighs are a little bit chewy, so it's breast meat that we usually do this with. And if you go to thegrillingguys.com, you're going to get this recipe, so you don't need to get a pencil and paper out. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing anyway. But basically what I do with these pheasants, they're frozen solid. I'm going to thaw them out, okay, and then we're going to brine them. And what a brine does is I'm going to make a sugar and salt brine. The recipe is on the website. You just search pheasant on thegrillingguys.com, and you'll find this. But I'm going to brine these with maybe some aromatics, put a little garlic in there. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just wondering, do you take the wings and the legs off?
Nope, I'm going to leave them all on because I'm only going to serve the breast, but I'm going to keep the cavity because I can then, what I'm going to tell you about is after I get them brined, I'm going to wrap them in bacon, and that whole body cavity works really well to keep everything together, and I can put some seasoning on the inner side of the cavity of the breast, and it really smokes down really nice. But I brine these things for about 12 hours. You'll see that I put them in a bag and put the brine in the bag, and then put the bag in a cooler with ice above and below it because I want to keep that brine cold. And then about 11th hour of the brining, I'm going to pull those my smoker out, get it up to 250. When I take the birds out of the brine, it's really important to rinse them off because you don't want the liquid on there. You just want the part of it that penetrated into the meat that causes the moisture and it'll drive in some of that sweetness and the saltiness from the flavor. So then I've got thick-cut bacon is what I use on these. A lot of times when we smoke, we use thin. I use the thick-cut because the pheasant breast is very dry and very lean if we don't cover it completely with the bacon. And I wrap thick-cut bacon around it, and then I just set these things on that smoker in about 250, and you'll know when they're done. I can use a thermometer. You want that breast meat done at about 165, but you'll see that that bacon will draw down on top of that, and it just turns out like these little beautiful breasts of bacony, pheasant-y love, man. And it's like it's an all-day deal. It's actually a two-day deal. You should brine them overnight and cook them the next
and
day.
And I think the bacon is such a critical part. If you go to the Grilling Guys Facebook page and you look at posts by people that put it on there, my friend Patrick Taylor, I told you last week that one of my dealers in Wisconsin actually found us because of the Grilling Guys website. He was looking for a goose jerky recipe and found that there. Well, when I went over to visit him a few weeks back, he actually brought in one of these pheasants, and there's a picture he posted on our page, and it's on his Primo Grill. His name is Patrick Taylor, and his post was from February 8th, but there's three gorgeous pheasant on there. Dude, I ate one of those. It was cold. He brought it in, you know, like the next day or whatever. We tore that thing apart in their office. Cold. It was so stinking beautiful. So that is a great method, and you turned me on to that. I don't hunt pheasant very often, so I don't end up with them unless you give them to me.
Right.
And it's a great way to do them. And most people ruin pheasant.
Right.
This is how you got to do it.
Yeah.
And it'll be so good. The bacon on the outside, he used a nice thick bacon, which I normally wouldn't recommend, but it worked perfectly because he probably toothpicked them on there. But just check out that picture of those three birds on his grill, and you'll see exactly what Job's talking about.
Good stuff. Now, Bob, you're a much more avid deer hunter than I am, so I'm betting this time of year that you're digging around in the bottom of the freezer and you come up with some sort of venison roast, steak, burger, something that's like the forgotten package.
Yeah, down
you
don't
there,
want
right?
You don't want to forget that stuff because it's so dear, right?
Ah, good one.
No, yeah. I mean, you paid a dear price for it, and it's a lot of work. You're traipsing through the woods. You're dragging it out. I process my own, so there's
upside down.
Yeah, there's so much work to processing one if you do it all yourself that you probably got $40 a pound into the meat by the time it's done. So what you don't want to do is find it like 2-3 years later and have an aw shucks minute. Just last week or a week before, I brought some venison to my son Jordan at Olivet College. He's living in the apartments there with 3 other animals, and I actually walked into the apartment, and I probably should have left my shoes
on. Did you have your mask on?
The kitchen was quite a sight. Kitchen was quite a sight because the top of the cabinets were all empty liquor bottles. So I don't know how he's keeping such a great GPA, but anyway.
Well, you learned from the best, Bob. We'll just leave it at that.
I brought him some venison steaks and some chops. And a bottle of Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO.
Ooh,
and a little can of spices from Original Juan, some of their barbecue spice. And he texted me, how do you do this? We actually got him he's got a nice little grill. It's a little on the weak side. But we got him a nice cast iron skillet for Christmas, and you were there.
Right.
So he's really getting into the cooking thing, as all my kids do. And so he's texting me for some hints because he's going to make these venison steaks for his buddies and didn't want to. Yeah, didn't want to screw it up. So, you know, we're texting back and forth. He texted me about 9 o'clock at night and he said, Jake and the boys are going nuts over these venison steaks. So here's what I told him to do. Thaw them out and take your time thawing them. And if you process your own meat, get those little wax paper sleeves and put them between the chops so when you pull them apart, they come apart a little easier. And wrap them in plastic, then wrap them in freezer paper. That's the deal.
Plastic wrap like Saran or cling wrap? Yeah.
And then freezer paper, nice and heavy. You won't get freezer burn, even if you have a crappy freezer that wants to self-defrost all the time. Mine's an old one. You have to defrost it. That's the kind I prefer because it doesn't heat up and melt the ice.
Right.
That's where your freezer burn tends to want to come. So you take it out plenty of time in advance, and you leave it wrapped up for maybe 8 hours on the counter. Then you start pulling it apart once it starts softening up, and you put it out on a plate or some kind of a cookie sheet, and you rub the whole thing up nicely with oil, and you let it continually thaw with that. I use infused oils if you like garlic or any of those Tuscan or anything like that for a profile. Put your oil on it and let it continue thawing. Now, if you're going to grill it, Or fry it, when it comes down to the salt, there's something critical you have to do with the salt. You either put it on 2 hours in advance, or you put it on right before you throw it on the grill, because that salt will want to do an osmosis thing to the blood, and you'll draw a bunch of moisture out if you try 20 minutes prior. So you want to let it set for 2 hours so it can go through a complete cycle and that liquid redistributes, or do it right when you put it on. I'd recommend doing it right when you put it on
right.
So you can't screw up. And you either pan fry it or throw it on the grill. But with those lean venison cuts, whether it's moose, elk, whatever you're cooking, caribou, or even just a nice piece of beef, you'll want to bring that thing to no more than medium rare because it's lean and you're going to dry it out.
And if you follow Bob's tips, you are going to have a wonderful piece of meat to serve your buddies, and that's what happened with Jordan, is that he's like...
He's a hero now.
Yeah, he's a hero. So, but, you know, the pressure's on now because the next time he makes it, he's going to think he can do it, and he's not going to call you, and he's going to forget something because, you know what? He's a college kid.
There's a curse.
That's the way it's going to work. But
no, the real pressure's on his brother Alex because Alex will now find out that we're talking about him, so he's going to want to make sure he gets on the show.
Oh, coming up next, we're still going to run around the freezer and see what we can find because I found some fish from 2014's ice fishing season in the freezer, and I thawed it out, and I made something out of it, and it actually turned out okay. So we'll break that down when we come back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us.